Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. We are here at ADA Scientific Sessions in sunny San Diego, California. And this episode, we have a very special guest. We have Jane Dickinson, who is with us, who is also the incoming president, or president-elect, we should say, of the ADCES. And so, Jane, thank you so much for joining us today. And do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. This is exciting. It's great to be here in San Diego. I am a nurse and certified diabetes care and education specialist. And I currently work for Teachers College, Columbia University, where I oversee and teach in a master's degree in diabetes education and management, and a doctoral degree in nursing education. And I am, as you said, president-elect for ADCES. I've been a member and volunteer for ADCES since 1996, I believe. And yeah, I live in Colorado. I work in New York. So I am living proof that remote works.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So tell us what you've done in the past. Have you done research? Tell us about, I have so many questions. I have questions about your diabetes specialty program. I have questions about your research. Talk to us about what you love.
Well, in my past, I guess it's always important to say up front that I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in 1975.
Okay.
So I am this month celebrating 48 years. And with type 1 diabetes, and that's kind of, when I was diagnosed, I fell in love with my nurse, and I didn't know at the time that I would become a nurse, but I followed her around the unit, and she let me watch her take vital signs and stuff, and I was just, intrigued by the whole thing. And so that influenced me, I think, on some level, that years later I decided to become a nurse. But I didn't actually plan to work in diabetes. I was originally working in pediatric hematology and oncology, and I absolutely loved the work. Unfortunately, the people I worked for, I didn't love as much. So I moved back to diabetes, I guess. I had gone as a camper and a counselor at a diabetes camp in Massachusetts and spent many years there, and I went back there as their clinical director and spent several years working in that capacity. And then when I moved to Colorado, I developed a diabetes inpatient outpatient diabetes education program. And so had that experience for about 12 years. And then this position opened up, and it's been my dream job. And I absolutely love teaching, and I have had the opportunity to dabble in research. I haven't, gotten as far into it as I'd like to yet, but I have definitely started along that route, and my plans for the future are to do a lot more research. And my research that you asked about is focused on the experience of people living with diabetes in terms of language and messaging. So the words that we use and the messages that we send when we talk to and about people with diabetes. And it's been a fascinating journey, because we are learning so much about how the messages we send through our words and, our written and spoken words is connected directly with therapeutic inertia. It's directly connected to stigma. All of the conversations that are going on right here in San Diego, it's like, that's related to language. That's related to language. Like, it all comes back to the way we think about people with diabetes and the way we talk about them and the messages that we project. So
that's amazing.
Long-winded.
I think that is really the in the past, what did we do? Look, that diabetic in room 17, that person, non-compliant, all of those words, and we used them for not just diabetes, but all diseases, right? And now we are realizing that there are people behind. And that's the beauty of this, is there's a person sitting next to you, in front of you, doing it.
And it's about the person.
Right.
Not about the disease.
Right.
Even if, regardless of what's going on, it's always about the person. And, back in nursing school, we were taught to, I think about this all the time, we were taught to you know, if a machine is beeping or glucose is low or whatever, you look at the person,
right?
And you find out if the person is okay. And if the person is talking to you, then okay, their glucose is 45, but they're talking to you. So you can go get them something and you can give, you know, and you don't have to panic and you don't, or if the machine is beeping and the person is walking and talking, you're, you know,
it's right.
You should, and I think about that all the time because we are so focused on machines and technology and numbers in diabetes. And we've got to get past that. We've got to like hold back from that. We've got to go back to the person first. And it's hard to do in 2023 because our focus is so data and numbers and technology driven. And all of those things are important. And all of those things are critical to managing diabetes and to living well with diabetes. But again, the person is at the foundation of all of it.
How have you seen things change and kind of how do you see where things are going with this whole language movement? Because I guess in my sense, it feels like it's taken a long time, but we've finally at least gotten to a place where I don't hear many people use the term diabetic anymore. Maybe in certain circles they do, but certainly at a meeting like this, I would say at least we've gotten to a person with diabetes, right? But I'm kind of curious, yeah, from your lens, like what else is needed to kind of, because I know we still hear things a lot like glycemic control or like non-adherent, like all that kind of stuff.
It's, you know, it's interesting. We have definitely made progress. We have many more champions on board, and that's really exciting to see. What's discouraging is reading the literature, reading the research, listening to speakers at conferences like this, seeing the titles of journal articles and talks, and seeing that it, as much as it feels like we have made progress, and we have, and we are, it's like, what do they say? Like, two steps forward, three steps back, or three steps forward, two steps back, or whatever the saying is. And we're always, you know, jokingly saying we have so much work to do. We have so much work. And what you mentioned, Natalie, that it's everywhere. It is. It's pervasive. This negative judgmental language is pervasive in healthcare. And so I always say when we fix diabetes, we'll move on to the rest of healthcare. But it's a mixed bag. It really is. And we are still seeing words like glycemic control and regimen and non-adherence and things like that. And because it's pervasive, because it's kind of the lingo, it's kind of the lexicon of diabetes, the professional diabetes community, it's hard to move away from, you know, and it's, and so I think people mean well, and I think, and just yesterday I was texting with a colleague and she was in a session and she was like, so discouraging, I'm hearing this and this and this from a person who is promoting removing blame and shame and stigma. And the thing is that the language and the stigma are so closely connected. I mean, language is how we communicate stigma. And they go, until we fix the language, we can't get rid of stigma. But, and so we're going back and forth and she's saying, she said it's that it's like unconscious. It's like, we don't even hear it. We don't see it until we become aware of it. Until we just like, it's glaring in front of us. Like, oh my gosh, it's there and it's there and it's there. And until that happens, and it's happening, like I said, it's happening with more and more people that they're kind of waking up to it. And I think that's what it's going to take to really turn the tide, is more champions and more people seeing it and being aware of it and saying something about it and, you know, and going to the EHR team and saying, we got to fix this. We can't have these words in our EHR. And we got to, you know, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because a lot of us use EHR that has dot phrases in it, right? So you say dot, you know, type 1 diabetes, and it dumps in my note, right? Mm-hmm. But if the notes don't match, and then a person with diabetes gets a discharge summary that says inappropriate things and makes them feel awful,
right?
Do they want to come back? Are they going to do what you want them to do? Have you made a connection with them?
Right.
And you've made this great office visit, and then they see something in their written notes that doesn't,
but it's automated.
Because it's automated. But if you automate inappropriately, there's another way that you've done it. And there's little tiny, we were at a meeting and where I was with Dr. Sean Ozier, and he was preaching at one point. I said, I was getting a lecture, right?
Yep.
Because the slides are okay. So we go through and we look at the slides in meetings like this.
And the slide matches, but the words coming out of the lecturer's mouth don't match yet.
Right.
We're getting better because we're reviewing things like slides now. We're reviewing them, but it's that vernacular that's embedded in our body, right?
This is good. This is bad.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Like that whole, instead of saying when the person walks in the room, how are you? What's happened since the last time I saw you in your world, not your diabetes, but just in your regular world. And then we can have a conversation, right?
And I love that you said yet, because it is a yet thing. And so it's not a do or don't, or it's, it's never going to happen or it's always going to happen. It's a yet. It's we're moving toward it. We're not there yet.
Well, I'm curious about, it's very exciting that you're president-elect of the Association of Diabetes Care and Education Specialists. And kind of what are you looking forward to stepping into that role, or what kind of things do you want to accomplish in your year?
Well, the platform that I ran on, so to speak, it was to help diabetes care and education specialists feel more prepared to work with the mental health side of diabetes. And so when they're working with someone who has diabetes, that they are able to address their mental health, their whole person. I'm starting to say earlier, is that the whole person is what matters in diabetes, because diabetes affects everything and everything affects diabetes. And so we talk about depression being at higher risk for, or people with diabetes being at higher risk for depression. Really, we know that people with diabetes are at high risk for diabetes distress, and we need to be screening for that. And diabetes care and education specialists need to know how to do that and what to do with the results, what to do with depression symptom screening results. So my priority has been to equip DCESs with the resources and the comfort level with dealing with the mental health side, because I think back to, there are two people who stand out for me who I worked with in my practice back in Colorado, out in Colorado, that I guess it's back in Colorado and you're in San Diego. Sorry.
Great.
So, and one of them had, clinical depression, and she could not focus on diabetes. That was not, she was not capable of it.
Right.
And nobody seemed to understand that. Everybody was just kneeling down with your A1C is too high and you're what? And I'm just like, something's not right here. This was many years ago. And then another one who was dealing with diabulimia, and she was in DKA multiple times in and out of the hospital, and she knew she needed help. And we didn't have the resources in our community. She had worked in the one facility and didn't want to go see anyone there because they were her colleague.
Right.
And she was like, I don't want to talk to anyone there. I know them. But she knew as soon as she left the hospital that she was going to go back into this pattern again. And it was so hard. And I was like trying to call people and how can I connect her with somebody? And then on top of it, she had Medicaid. And what is, what does Medicaid pay for? And so these are the things that DCESs need to be comfortable with and be knowledgeable about, so that they don't go to that place of, well, there's nothing I can do, so I'm just not going to do anything.
Right.
And so that's kind of my priority is to
build that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, 1 year is really fast.
It is
short.
Right. It is.
And I'm thinking all the time about how much can I get done in 1 year, but that's my priority.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
I do too. It's a need that
it is. We're doing the screening sometimes, right?
But we're not. What do you do with it? What do you do when you have someone in front of you
That needs that help?
And do you have a resource list? Do you know who I can match you up with this person because this is your person? Not even just let me send them to site, but let me send them to the right person, right? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And to get more mental health experts equipped in diabetes.
Yes.
Both ways.
Absolutely.
And I know there's probably not a lot I can do that, but I can support that effort in whatever way possible. Here we are at ADA and they have the list of, mental health providers who are specializing in diabetes. And so that's a great start.
I'm so fortunate. We've been asking forever, but we finally now at my Cleveland Clinic and our diabetes center, we have social worker and we have two psychologists that specialize.
Wow.
So
That's exciting.
It's so exciting. So I feel like slowly we're, you know,
they're happening. It's a need. Yeah, absolutely.
And can I segue back to something we were talking about earlier?
Absolutely.
Because I'm having guilt. When I was talking about technology, when I said we need to pull back, well, what I meant we need to pull back from is the kind of focusing on the numbers and the results and instead of the person. And I think it's easy to do that when you've got all these shiny new things and it's exciting and it's like, and so not to lose the person in that, and to also, and I know we've talked about this a lot, but the language that we use with technology, I keep saying we're at a crossroads. We have an opportunity to not fall into that good, bad, you know, like, right. When I hear they have good timing range, I'm like, is there bad timing range? Like,
right.
If you're in range, that's so, like, why do we need to do that? Why don't we just say they have more or less time in range?
Right.
So neutral and factual. I mean, technology is wonderful and it is changing the face of diabetes management. We just have to really pay attention to how we talk about it and that we always keep the person at the center.
That's it. Really, that's our, that is what we live every day as clinicians as well, which is why we invited to talk to you, because we knew that that's in your heart, right? That is like a part of you that we love and adore, and seeing your work and watching you. And we're excited. We're excited about the future.
Yeah, I am too. I am encouraged.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That concludes this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspective.